flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We like to have a little fun here at the 9 o'clock hour because it's getting close to the weekend. I thought this was awesome. So Danielle Collins, I know a lot of people that don't follow tennis particularly closely here. She is a pro tennis player by way of the University of Florida. She went there for a year, and then Virginia, but she is playing in the Australian Open right now, and there was a bit of a hostile crowd the match yesterday. She played someone from Australia. And you know how it goes, right? They root pretty heavily for their own country. You always do that, right?
Don't blame them.
But they were especially hard on her during the match. The crowd, they were a little bit rowdy, right? So she ended up winning 7-6, 6-4, 6-2. She wins the match. And she is getting booed just brutally by this crowd, and as they do after they win, they get the mic and they get to speak. And here is Danielle Collins after winning her match.
Danielle, congratulations! That was a roller coaster of a ride.
Yeah, I mean, destiny. I was thinking during the match, I was like, if I'm out here, I might as well just take that big fat paycheck. And Coco and I love a good 5-star vacation. So part of that check is going to go towards that. So thank you guys. Thanks for coming out here and supporting us tonight.
Danielle, thank you. Congratulations. Through to the third round of the Australian Open.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you guys. Love ya.
I thought that was awesome. By the way, she went on in the post-match press conference, too, and said basically the same thing that they keep, all the haters are donating to the Danielle Collins Fund. I love that. I think it's great for tennis, right, to have a kind of a WWE-style heel there.
It's so funny that you are infatuated with the heels. I'm pretty sure people view me as a heel. But
I would say yes. Maybe that's why I like you.
But you're such a coward. You refuse to be the heel in any situation.
No. I don't want to be.
Even earlier this week, Wednesday.
Yeah.
When you acknowledged and admitted to the world, I'm a Jimmy Butler supporter. I will always be a Jimmy Butler supporter.
Yeah.
The texters shamed you, and you apologized for it.
I'm weak to cave to the pressure, though. I can't embrace the villain role. Remember that was the big thing with LeBron when he was down here, like the first year. You gotta embrace being the villain.
Yeah, you're like LeBron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm too afraid to embrace the role of a villain. But Omar,
you gotta
carry,
own it. You gotta own it.
You carry the torch for both of us. You're villainy. Like a double villain. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I thought that was awesome. I thought that was a really cool soundbite. Wanted to play that for everyone.
I love people who can say hello to the bad guy. Yeah. I love people who can live in their moment.
I think it's say goodnight to the bad guy.
Oh, yeah, say goodnight to the bad guy. Yeah, you're right.
All right, a couple more texts here real quick.
If I'm going to quote Scarface, I should quote it properly.
Let's see here. The Butler charade is the kind of thing that got me to stop following the NBA, just saying.
You might as well stop following all of sports then, because it's happening everywhere, in everything.
We've been talking about this a lot this week, and I hate to agree with you on this one, but I do think that athletes are heading in more in the Jimmy Butler direction than in like the, I don't know,
Steph Curry,
Joe and Bo direction, or like, you know, something like that, right? Like the more old school, the old school mentality is not, I mean, but that's generation to generation, right? That's usually how
this
it works.
NIL culture, brother.
Well, I know. That's kind of expedited things. Absolutely.
Yes. And I wrote a column about it in the Miami Herald, which is on the front of the paper today. It's going to get worse. This is going to be the biggest problem in sports within the next, I would probably say, 5 to 6 years. This entitlement era of athletes, from Tyreek to Jimmy Butler, is going to magnify to levels that you cannot even understand.
But then my counter would be, I know that the money is getting nuts, but here's the thing, Omar. We can't get enough of these products. We can't consume these products like quick enough.
You but know when what I mean? The like, people like, turn the you
ratings,
off.
Look at, but no one's turning it off, though, man.
No. When you're emotionally turned off by the Jimmy Butlers and the Tyreek Hills, who are the me, nobody cares about team anymore. Look at college. Do you think a college athlete now cares about being a Hurricane and being part of that program and just living and dying with it?
I think to generalize college athletes is not something that I think is okay to do. Like I think you're putting everyone into a group. Are there bad apples? Of course. Of course there are guys that are getting paid. And you know, not everyone's getting paid the same, right? Let's get that out of the way, too.
I don't even think not everybody's getting paid.
Are there guys that are on these teams that are like, I'm a first-round pick, and I'm making a bunch of money this year, and I'm here to do me?
I think that's everywhere. I think you're going to see a culture of players where you talk to me hard, you try to coach me hard.
Yes.
I agree with you completely.
You're like, what?
You want to fine me for showing up late for practice? Nah, I'm not with that.
The problem is, though, the NBA has allowed that nonsense to happen.
Oh, don't blame me
for a long time.
Don't blame me
for a long time.
Don't blame the NBA. I don't think it's the NBA, because they're a small league. They're driven by their stars. No. I'm talking about in terms of the workforce. And they play without helmets, so people know who they are. So the names are bigger than the logos that they play for. Now, when the problem comes to the NFL and the names are bigger than the logos, oh, then you're going to see a problem.
Yeah, because the NFL, there's not one player that isn't replaceable. Right?
Patrick Mahomes.
You could throw Patrick Mahomes out. He could retire this season, and you're not going to see a massive drop-off in viewership.
Now, if the NBA lost
LeBron... which they will eventually.
You're right.
What happened when they lost Jordan?
I see where you're going here.
But like, I'm just being honest with you. If the NFL, if Patrick Mahomes retired after this season, you're not going to get a bunch of people who are like, I'm not going to watch anyone on Sundays. I've had enough.
That's true. We'll watch Cleveland and New Orleans.
By the way,
on a Thursday night.
I know a lot of people have a thing for the NBA because of their whatever they've done in the past. Did you guys, you might may have not seen this part, but there was quite a vicious negotiation for their TV rights. I mean, these companies they just couldn't bid enough to get this thing, right? So, before everyone goes and starts, saying the NBA's dead and whatever. That was quite a vicious television negotiation that just took place. And the money's just going to keep going up, right?
Yes.
I mean, the money for live sports, because now you got more players than ever. You got Apple.
Yes.
You got Amazon.
You got to have every streaming site.
Every major streaming thing is producing their own stuff now. So these numbers, these contracts, all that stuff, they are just going to continue to go up and up. And you know what that will mean? That will mean more money for the athletes. Those contracts will continue.
More money for the owners, too.
And up and up. And more money for everyone involved.
And more taxes, more taxed on the fans because their tickets are going up.
What happens to us?
Yeah.
Dan is still riled up about those nachos he bought, man. He was
$17 nachos?
Are they at least good?
They're fantastic.
They put a little little meat or something in there for
$17? They're actually vegan nachos from Full Bloom, but yeah.
Vegan nacho. What do they put in a vegan nacho?
Jackfruit and vegan cheese and, I don't know, $17 worth of whatever.
You paid a vegan tax.
Yeah, you pay the vegan fees. I get that too. But, I mean, the $30 mixed drink, the $19 beer.
Hey, man. You want to go to a sporting bet game, you better have $100 just to eat and drink.
Why are you taking the side of them? Take the side of the working man right here.
I do agree with you. But you know what you signed up for. It's like me going to a nightclub and not expecting a drink in Miami to not cost $20.
What I'm going to do next time I go to a Heat game, I'm just going to eat some cookies and
stuff it in your pocket.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There you go.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline, where we are joined by Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio, as we are every Friday here on the show. Mike, good morning. Thank you for the time, as always. Appreciate it.
Guys, how are you today?
We are good, and Mike, we found out that Omar Kelly's going to be heading to Madrid for the Dolphins. Will play in the first game in Madrid as the NFL. Mike, is there going to be a country that they don't touch pretty soon here?
We were talking about this earlier on PFT Live. I think they'll eventually play on the moon. I think the moon is in play if they can, like, build a rocket that doesn't explode as soon as they put it off the launch pad. Let's go play on the moon. I mean, they're going to go everywhere. They're trying to globalize the sport, and it's a 100-year plan. There was a time when I was a kid where baseball was the dominant sport in the United States. Football eventually caught it and surpassed it. They'd love to do the same thing to soccer. It's going to take a lot longer, and it might never happen, but they're in the game internationally. They want to take the inventory that they provide domestically, take it around the world, and make even more money. Billion-dollar business becomes trillion-dollar business if they can get the rest of the world as interested in football as we are here.
Let me shoot you this idea, Mike, and I'm filled with ideas. Now, are they smart? I don't know. That's debatable. But what if every NFL team had to take their ninth home game and send it somewhere internationally? You think that would work?
Oh, I think that would absolutely work. And the current schedule lines up perfectly and this is competitive balance. 8 true home games, 8 true road games,
and then one international
site game.
Absolutely.
Right? It's perfect. It's perfect. Here's the problem. They won 18 games. So they better do this.
That's too international then. That's too international.
Right, but I think what'll happen is it'll be one, and then you're going to have imbalance between home and away. And, of course, they only care about competitive integrity when it supports the things they want to do.
As long as it doesn't interfere with their dollar, they'll care about
integrity. Right. Well, it's really not an issue. You know, that's 9 home games versus 8. That's really, you know, that's a statistical aberration or whatever. But yeah, once they go to 18, that goes away. But I remember when they first talked about 17 as a compromise to 18, I said, whoa, this is perfect. You end up with a block of 16 games that can be played neutral site. And if you're not ready to take 16 out of the country, play one at Notre Dame. Play one at Penn State. Get a couple of geographic rivals. Play at Michigan. Like, let's have fun with these games. Take away the traditional home game. Have every team play a neutral site game. You're absolutely right. And I think they will get there. The problem is, if they get there, then the next year we're going to have 18 games and we're going to be back to imbalanced home and away schedules.
But you know they don't care, Mike. Another thing that they don't care about is the Rooney Rule. And we see examples of this every single year. And while I love the Rooney Rule in theory, and I actually love the changes that they've made to the Rooney Rule, benefiting teams that elevate African-Americans, and then if they get taken to another job, you get draft picks for it. Love that change. I think it probably needs to be expanded to offensive and defensive coordinators. But Mike Vrabel's situation is, in my mind, a clear example. A team and an organization knew exactly who they wanted to hire and just went through the motions to do it. And unfortunately fired an African-American coach after one season.
And look, perception and reality often are quite the same thing. They shifted into overdrive the moment the regular season ended. By halftime of the late afternoon games on week 18, the Patriots had fired Gerard Mayo. There was an urgency, I believe, to get Mike Vrabel before someone else could. He just interviewed with the Jets for crying out loud. Tom Brady and the Raiders are floating around out there. Let's get this done. Let's check the boxes. Let's sit down with Byron Leftwich and Pep Hamilton on Tuesday. And then the path is cleared to hire Mike Vrabel whenever we want. And my understanding is they were strongly encouraged to interview someone else who is viewed as, frankly, you know, a better candidate, a more realistic candidate to be a head coach.
Okay.
That resulted in the request for permission to interview Aaron Glenn, the Lions defensive coordinator, to his credit, said, no,
yes.
I'm not doing this. Now, for Hamilton and Leftwich, here's the incidental benefit. And this is where the rule can have, you know, even when it's violated in spirit, it reminded everyone of Byron Leftwich and Pep Hamilton at a time when people are going to be hiring staffs. Leftwich could end up back in the league. I don't know how the hell he fell out. But it's like, hey, oh, Byron Leftwich, yeah. Hey, he was offensive coordinator of the Bucs. They won a Super Bowl. So it benefited both of them because their names were injected into the news cycle for a day. But you're right. Look, that's what the rule requires. They technically complied with the rule, but anybody who gets it knows they did what they had to do to get into position where they could hire Mike Vrabel.
Now, let me ask you this question selfishly. Brian Flores, he's out there. He's interviewing for jobs. I believe he just interviewed with the Jets. And I love and support his lawsuit, even though I don't like the man. I love and support his lawsuit because I do think that African-Americans are given jobs and set up to fail a lot of times. A lot of times they're in a tank situation. A lot of times teams don't even have the patience with them, like Gerard Mayo. I mean, one year and done, you know, with a rebuilding roster, with a team that's got $130 million in cap space, you weren't even trying. Now, we don't know where the lawsuit is at this present moment. You might, because you pay attention to the legalese of the
I know where it is. It's still stuck at square one, 3 years later.
NFL's very good. They got a lot of good lawyers, Mike. You do know that. Do you think that lawsuit will ever get off the ground?
Here's where the lawsuit stands. The NFL, as a matter of habit, first step, let's not be in open court. Let's not be in a litigation process where our secrets are potentially going to be disclosed to the public. Let's not have a jury of average people come in and assess whether or not we did right or wrong. And we saw what happened this past summer when a jury got a crack at the NFL. It was a massive multi-billion dollar antitrust verdict in the Sunday Ticket lawsuit. They engineer all these contracts, especially coaching contracts, to force the plaintiff into arbitration. And they're still fighting over what goes to arbitration, what doesn't go to arbitration between the claims filed by Brian Flores, Ray Horton, and Steve Wilks. And Flores has claims against the league, the Giants, the Broncos, the Texans, the Dolphins. And you know, I'm encouraged by the fact that he's getting interviews this year, because last year he deserved interviews and he didn't get any. I don't know that he's going to get a job this year. Somebody at the end of the day is going to have to decide, is it worth the blowback that I'm going to take when it's bourbon and cigars time on the lawn at wherever the league meeting is going to be this year for hiring a guy who's suing my business partners? And it's not supposed to be a big deal. It's not supposed to be an impediment to employment, but that's how the world works, especially in a closed shop like the NFL with only 32 companies under one big umbrella. I wonder, and look, the Tua Tagovailoa comments about Flores, there's a YouTube clip out there I've seen with Ryan Fitzpatrick on Flores. And I've heard some stuff about, you know, like, you know, that Belichick mindset. You take it to Minnesota, the land of you betcha in Minnesota Knights. I don't know that that's flown up there either, even though the defense has been good. So when they do their due diligence and their deep dive on Brian Flores, the question is this: is it worth the blowback we're going to take for hiring somebody who has sued our business partners, even though it's wrong to consider that? And I think he might have to wait another year when it's all said and done, because I don't think, you know, if they were the 85 Bears, if they had made it to the Super Bowl, something like that, if they had a better game plan the last two games against the Lions and the Rams, that maybe I think he's going to have to wait another year. And the lawsuit has slowed him down. Obviously, it slowed him down. I'm just encouraged that it hasn't killed him. I thought when he filed it, he was just done.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk here with us. Mike, keeping it on the subject of coaches, we talked a little bit about Bill Belichick this week, and I know he's assembling his crew of NFL people over there in North Carolina, and it seems like every time one of these pro jobs comes, you know, there's rumors that he could be tied to it. He says, nope, I'm here to stay at North Carolina. You think this thing actually works out for him, number one, and number two, doesn't he take the first NFL job that, like, offers him?
I firmly believe he wants back into the NFL. And I've been doing a lot of work on this, talking to a lot of people. And the consistent theme and message is this. He took the bird in the hand because no one was willing to do what he wanted them to do. You know, we talked about the Rooney Rule. Belichick basically wanted his team to violate the Rooney Rule and give him a wink, nod assurance that once we go through the charade of doing a real search, we're going to swing back around and hire you. And without anyone saying, hey, don't worry, don't take a job at North Carolina or South Carolina or any Carolina, we're going to hire you. No one would do that, so he took what he had available to him. And now that the season's ended and people are looking for coaches, I think he wants to be in play. Mm-hmm. I think that these reports about teams reaching out to him, that benefits him. That maybe gets his name on the radar screen, and somebody may give him a call. And I don't rule it out. I just don't know who would want him, because it's become clear that if you hire Bill Belichick, you got to be ready to give him the keys. Even if you have a general manager who on paper has more power than he does, when they're sitting in the draft room and they're coming up with, you know, hey, we're going to take it a fifth round, and the GM who's 30 years younger than Belichick wants to, you know, receiver from Colorado State, and Belichick rolls his eyes or makes some inaudible sound, and the GM's like, well, I better not draft him or he's going to be buried on the depth chart. That's the problem. You got to give him full control, and I don't know who's willing to do it. So the buyout is the key. It's only $10 million to get him until June 1. After June 1, it's $1 million. He's in play, and I don't care what he says, and he's not saying much lately. Mike Lombardi, his mouthpiece slash consigliere, is saying anywhere and everywhere. I don't believe any of that crap. The buyout is what speaks to me.
And the contract hasn't been signed.
He hasn't signed his contract. I mean, he can, in theory, walk away.
Bad look, but it could technically be done. Why don't you think the Raiders are giving him a look-see? Why not Tom say, hey, former boss, how about you come work for me?
Well, here's what I've heard happen there. And we've mentioned, you know, it's funny, when you talk extemporaneously on radio or podcast or wherever, sometimes you're a little looser journalistically than you'd be in what you write. I've written that Brady and Belichick aren't at a point in their relationship where Brady would ever hire him. I believe, based upon everyone I've talked to, that the report from NFL media last week that Brady had spoken to Belichick and that the Raiders and multiple other teams were talking to Belichick about whether or not he'd come back, I believe that was put out there as a favor to Belichick, and that it's not happening with the Raiders, and there's no real indication he's talking to anybody else, although he could be talking to people off the grid. He can be having the conversations he was hoping to have in November, where somebody says, hey, we're just going to go through this process, and we'll interview you at the very end, and then we'll hire you. So there's still a chance. And the one team I'm watching is the Buccaneers, because they've done some weird stuff over the years with coaches. John Gruden fired one day, Raheem Morris elevated the next day. Then Morris is fired. Who are they going to hire? Oh, well, Greg Schiano. What the? Greg Schiano? And then Lovie Smith is the coach, and they push him out for Dirk Cutter because they thought Dirk Cutter was going to get a job somewhere else. They elevated him. And then Bruce Arians gets retired. He didn't retire. Retired by the Bucs in late March for Todd Bowles. It would not shock me, given that they lost in the wild card round, that Bowles, quote-unquote, retires and boom, Belichick's the next coach. That is pure speculation, and it's based primarily on the history of the Buccaneers, where they just do weird, confusing things with their coaches.
Yeah, I know Todd. Todd ain't retiring. Todd's
right. Bruce Arians wasn't retiring either until I believe it came down to we get Tom back or we don't get Tom back. And if we get Tom back, Bruce has to go. I believe that happened. I'm not reporting that happened, but I've long believed that that's how Arians left, because Tom came back and 3 weeks later Arians was out. Somebody told me when Tom came back, watch and see. Next step, Arians is going to be gone.
All right, Mike, we got some big games coming up this weekend. Just a real quick one to get your take on all these here. Saturday, 4:30, Chiefs hosting the Texans.
Texans can win this. It was 17-16 on that play that Tank Dell caught the touchdown pass and horribly injured his knee, and it kind of took the air out of the balloon for the Texans. They can keep this close, and Joe Mixon, to me, is the X factor in this game. The running back for the Texans has been on a Bengals team that won at Arrowhead and gave them everything they could handle the next year, twice in the AFC Championship. Mixon made them believe last week, and they shut up Rex Ryan in a big way, and Mixon was at the forefront of that. He can make the offense believe that they can score enough points to beat the Chiefs. That one, to me, is fascinating because of the presence of Mixon.
You don't think the weather plays a role in that game at all?
Oh, weather's going to play a role in all these games. It's January football, but it's not going to be like it was when the Dolphins played there last year.
All right, we got the Lions and the Commanders, 8 o'clock Saturday night. Do the Lions end the Commanders run here?
The key for the Commanders is going to be keep it close. The number that keeps popping up in my head is 17 plays, 92 yards. They had a drive of that length and duration against the Buccaneers. You know, for as spectacularly talented as Jaden Daniels is, he operates very patiently within the confines of the offense. It's almost like an old-school West Coast offense, 5 yards here, 6 yards here, 4 yards there. And he doesn't push it. He's patient. He doesn't get flustered. If they can keep it close, they can steal it. I think the mission for the Lions will be knock them out as early as possible and don't give them a chance to take it from us late, because if you let them hang around, they just might do it.
All right, moving to Sunday, 3 o'clock, Eagles and Rams.
Eagles and Rams, the weather here is definitely going to be a factor, and the Rams players are coming to grips with the fact it's going to be cold, it's going to be snowy. They had 255 yards that they gave up to Saquon Barkley when they played in Week 12. You had Jared Verse, the likely defensive rookie of the year, stirring up the Eagles fans, not that they needed any extra agitation. It's going to be a long day for the Rams. It's been a long couple of weeks. I was saying last week, you know, this is lining up perfectly for them to beat the Vikings. But if they do, they got 6 days later. They got to play in Philadelphia, going back to L.A. with everything that's still going on. There's just only so much the human body can deal with by way of stress and physicality and pressure. And this is going to be a tough, tough assignment for the Rams. It could get ugly, and the Eagles could end up winning this thing going away.
All right, then the main course, Mike, 6:30 on Sunday. I got to ask you first, what kind of numbers is this game going to do here, Bills and Ravens? Are we going to shatter, like, playoff records here with this game in prime time on Sunday?
The division round averaged $40 million last year for the four games. This year, the wild card round was down 9.3% to $28.3 million per game. This game should do 45. Wow. There's no reason why it shouldn't. And it's so weird to see a game not involving Patrick Mahomes in the AFC playoffs be the marquee game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here's the other factor that really will ratchet up the intensity of this game. If the Texans pull it off, we'll know, and they'll know. It will feel like the de facto AFC championship if the Chiefs get knocked out on Saturday. Now, the winner's still going to have to deal with the Texans, but that mindset going into the game is far different from we're both competing for the chance to go die at Arrowhead Stadium.
Well said there, Mike. I got to tell you, I am really torn on this one. I know the weather's not going to bother either one of these teams, but do you have a leaning on this one? Like, either way here, it's very, very tough to pick this game.
I think that the presence of Derrick Henry, the combination of Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, and the improvement of the defense since Dean Pease returned as a consultant to help Zach Gore. Zach Gore's young enough that he should still be playing. If he didn't have a neck problem, he probably would still be playing. He's a first-year defensive coordinator. The defense has gotten better. Rodney Harris and I were talking about this on PFT Live earlier. It's astounding to think that the way to beat the Ravens is to put the game in the hands of the guy who is likely going to be the two-time MVP, three times overall, and force him to beat you. But that's the formula. You have to take away Derrick Henry and say to Lamar Jackson, come out here on the coldest day where you've ever played football, where the weather is going to be a factor, where you have admitted that you are and have been in the past antsy and nervous in that one and done win or go home playoff setting. We're going to force you to beat us. The best player in football, we're going to force you to beat us in this moment, but that may be the only chance the Bills have to win.
Mike, thank you so much for the time. Look forward to talking to you again next week when we have a couple of championship games to discuss. Thank you for the time, as always. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
What do we got? A lot of couch surfing. We got basketball. We got hockey. We got football. We got a little bit of everything here.
I'm going to the Frost Museum on Sunday. It's a daddy's. It's a daddy daughter.
That's important.
Weekend.
You got to do that. Just make sure you're home by 6:30.
Okay, 6:30 is the time. Yeah,
that's the big game. 3 o'clock. There's a game too.
Yeah.
The Heat play at 3 o'clock on Sunday as well. Wemby is in town.
I would like to see that game. Unfortunately, I'm not going, but I would.
Sorry to hear that.
I know.
Let's do this, guys. We got a couple minutes left here. Let's give our picks. Let's give our expert betting picks. Do not follow us with these. These are just our best guesses. By the way, they just had one of these guys on ESPN. He was giving his picks or whatever. And he's telling you what to take, right?
Yeah. That's generally how it works.
I don't get that, man. I don't get that. He's an expert. Come on.
Yeah,
no one knows.
You
got
to show me your betting slip for me to believe you're an expert.
That's what I'm saying. Who knows how these games are going to play out?
That's
right?
That's how I would rock. I would need to see
Florio
your betting slip.
Florio said he could see the Texans beating the Chiefs. Florio is as close to the NFL as any person, and he said he thinks the Texans can win that game. I think they can win that game.
They've got a hell of a defense. They can put pressure on Patrick Mahomes. Do we know if Patrick Mahomes is fully healthy?
Do you know how insane it would be to bet against Mahomes at this
point? Mahomes has been injured for 4 years now, and he always seems to be
This is different. This is a high ankle sprain.
You guys do that every year.
And he rushed for a 30-yard touchdown. They're like, his knee and his ankle's bad. He rushed for a 30-yard touchdown.
This is what I hate about the Patrick Mahomes and the scrambling. Patrick Mahomes is not a scrambling quarterback.
No, he runs when necessary.
He runs when necessary and when it's specifically convenient.
He's an excellent athlete, though.
He is a very good athlete, but he's not looking to run like Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson.
All right, let's get some picks here. Okay, right. We're trying to justify this, but let's get some picks. Chiefs and Texans, the spread is 8. Total is 41.5. The thing for me is that extra point there, that little hook on the 8. Kind of bothers me.
Yeah.
I feel a little more comfortable at 6.5 if you could buy it down. That way, touchdown gets the job done. I think the Chiefs are going to win by a healthy margin.
To me, it comes.
But still, because of the backdoor cover situation, I probably would like to get that, to under a touchdown. But what do you think, Omar?
I would definitely take Houston to the points.
Confidently. I like it.
It comes down to how they've got a great defense. They can put pressure on them. It comes down to how well can the Chiefs stop the run and Joe Mixon and can C.J. Stroud put a team on his back? And we've seen him do that from time to time.
Dan? Your thoughts on Chiefs-Texans?
Yeah, the Chiefs are the Chiefs. They're exactly who we think they are. They're going to win barely like they always do. So like a 3 or 4 point Chiefs win. So take Houston with the points.
All right, nicely done. Lions and Commanders, 8 o'clock. That game is on Fox. I think the spread, by the way, is 9 points. It's the biggest spread of the weekend. Total's at 55.5. I think that total probably hits. I know it's a high number, but I think this game's going to be very high scoring. I do think the Lions will try to humiliate the Commanders. I think they are the significantly better team.
Noah Igbinoghene is a starter for the Washington Commanders, and so is Michael Dieter.
Listen.
No disrespect.
No disrespect to the Commanders, what they accomplished last week, but that was a hard-fought, physical game. The Lions have just been sitting and waiting. I think the Lions are going to smash them.
I agree with you. The Lions are going to smash them.
Dan?
You know I love Jaden Daniels, LSU guy, Arizona State guy, but, the Lions. This is one of those games where they're just out there to prove something, so they'll cover.
All right, Eagles and Rams, 3 o'clock, and I kind of agree with what Mike Florio said. I think it's been a very emotional, difficult run here for the Rams. I think you pair that with the fact that they're going into freezing rain and snow and all that in a very hostile environment, and I just think the way that Philly plays, all that stuff really heavily favors them.
Notice how those teams that are built physical and punch you in the mouth and pound the ball, Lions, Philadelphia, they're the ones, Baltimore, they're the ones that are winning at this time of year. Hint, hint, Dolphins.
You want them to get tougher. I see what you're doing. Anyway, I am going to take the Eagles in this game. They are favored by 6 points, total 43.5. I don't know that that goes over that number. That could be a very low-scoring type of game. Dan, your thoughts?
I got the Eagles, man. I got the Eagles all the way actually going to the Super Bowl, so I'm going to take the points with the Eagles, too. Just say, Saquon Barkley? Oh, come on, man. And then the tough game, the defense, Vic Fangio, I'm just saying.
All right, our final one, gentlemen. This is a very tricky one here. Bills and Ravens. It's going to be like 3 below 0, feels like temperature. There's going to be all kinds of snow and, you know, stuff to hurt offenses. But it doesn't bother these offenses because they're just going to keep running the ball and doing what they do. Bills and Ravens, right now it's Baltimore -1. It's essentially a pick 'em game, total 51.5. The total is a little tricky because, again, there is some severe weather, and I know it doesn't really bother these teams, but it might slow them down just a tad, Omar. I am going to go with the Bills. I've kind of been on the Bills as the Super Bowl team all season. I think Josh Allen just seems to be his time. I'm not going to be upset either way with this one, though. I will tell you, I'd love to see Lamar Jackson get over the hump, too. But like Mike said, it is going to be kind of funny because they'll know if they're waiting to take a trip to Kansas City afterwards.
Whoever wins will be slaughtered.
But I'm going to go Bills.
I'm going to go Baltimore. I think Lamar Jackson, it is his time. It could easily be Josh Allen's time. But it is his time. This is his team. Maybe they're one receiver shy of what they need to be. But if he doesn't win it now, and they probably could benefit from having Calais Campbell, which was the plan altogether. But I think it's going to be Baltimore.
Dan, you get the final say on this one here. Split the difference here. We got a tie. Who do you like?
Yeah, I would just flip a coin, but
it really is.
I think the difference maker, that big man.
Yeah, say it.
Derrick Henry, the big horse.
That's the only difference I see between these two teams. Derrick Henry is that slight difference, and it's every year's Buffalo's year. What's going to make it different this year?
All right, and you know what? That's going to do it for us here today on this Football Friday. Thank you, everyone, for hanging with us this week. Joe will be back at some point next week, but on Monday, I know it's a holiday.